All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John and chapter number 20. Again, we have been preaching this series of messages of things to set in order. Paul had told his young preachers things that they needed to know. I think in particular he told Titus, there's some things you need to set in order. And we've been talking about those things, and they're really things that we as a church need to make sure we know and understand. And that's been the whole purpose about this series of messages, things that we need to know, things that are important, things that are critical for us, especially in these last days when there will be people who will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, where people will depart from the truth. And because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we want to make sure that we know the truth and we know some very important things as they are outlined in the Scriptures. And last week we began in some of the more doctrinal type things, and we talked about the existence of God. And we also discussed about God and Allah, whether they are the same or not. Some of you may watch our little video called Five Guys in the Bible. And this week they were going to ask, they said, well, what's the subjects that you want to talk about? Somebody suggested, why don't we discuss the topic of whether God and Allah are the same? And I said, that's a good topic. I just preached on that this week. Let's talk on that topic. So anyway, there's a Five Guys in the Bible video out there. Wait a minute, that video is not out there yet. We also discussed gun control and self-defense. That video was out there on Five Guys in the Bible. So the next one that will be put out will be on this subject that we talked about last week. But anyway, so we talked about the existence of God and whether God and Allah are the same God and all of that last week. And we told you that one of the very important things that proves that the God of Islam and the God of the Bible are not the same is the deity of Christ. The Muslims deny the deity of Christ, and of course we as Christians know that the deity of Christ is foundational to our understanding of eternal life. And so I thought it would be good for us just to build upon that thought and to dig in a little deeper and discuss the deity of Christ today. And you're going to find out as you look in our text why that is so important, the deity of Christ. And as we go through our message, we're going to look at three witnesses to the deity of Christ, which we'll get there in just a little bit. And you'll know what I'm talking about when we get to the text. But John chapter number 20, read verses 30 and 31, and it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." Why were the things written in the book of John? Why were they written? "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Do you understand how critical the deity of Christ is? If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, you do not have life. You cannot have eternal life if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So this is critical. It is key. It is what gives us eternal life. We have life through His name. So it is very important. Do you think it's important, therefore, that you know about the deity of Christ? Do you think it's very important that you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If your eternal life hinges upon it, it is very important. So that's why we want to discuss that this morning. All right, so the next thing we want to look at is John's epistle. Now, as you go through and you study the Bible, and maybe you've done a Bible survey, I've done a Bible survey here before, you know that there's four Gospels. There's three that are called Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they basically tell the same story. And then you have a book of John who tells the same story, but he focuses on a different aspect of the ministry of Christ than Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. And each one of those books are written for a specific reason. and written in such a way that drives home a particular point. Well, John's epistle is written for the reason that we discussed there, that you might believe that he is the Son of God. John is written in many places for us to understand who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. That's the reason or the way that epistle is written. And again, we understand the importance of this is if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you cannot have life. So we do want to get this teaching down. So now let's go to the book of John in chapter number 5. And our message is going to be in John chapter number 5. And throughout the ministry of Jesus, you know the claim that he made was that he and his Father are one. You remember that. Often he says that, I and my Father are one. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I've come down from my Father. The works of my Father I do. He often made that statement. He claimed to be one with the Father. And we also know that's the reason the Jews hated him. That's the reason the Jews had him murdered and crucified, was because of his claim to be one with the Father. The Jews were so zealous in their religion that they missed their Messiah. The one that all the entire Old Testament talks about. The coming Messiah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own hated him. Ponder that for a minute. They had become so zealous in their pursuit of religion that they killed their Messiah. You see, the focus was no longer the Messiah and the coming Messiah. The focus was their religion. They were so caught up in all the rules and regulations and all of the do's and all of the don'ts and all of the, you got to be this. And if you don't do this exactly like me, then you're wrong. And if you don't do this, then you're not right with God. And they had all of these thoughts and all of these ideas, and they had become so zealous over their religion that they killed their Messiah. They had over-applied the Scripture. They had gone over and above the Scripture. The Scripture said this, but they had added unto it in many places. And they had become so zealous in all of their additions to the Scripture that when their Messiah came, they said, you can't be the Messiah. And they killed him. They took what was good, they added to it, and they killed their Messiah. Listen, this is one of the reasons that we must stand on what you find in the Scripture. And you can't add to the Scripture. When you start adding to the Scripture and start making a point that you can't find in the Scripture anywhere, and you start making that a point of contention and a point of division, and it's nowhere found in the Scripture, that's when you're following in the same paths of what the Pharisees did and what the Sadducees did, and you're bringing a teaching that kills instead of give life. So we want to make sure that we know what the Scripture says and we're not adding to it and not becoming overzealous over something that you can't even find in the Scripture. We must guard against that type of thing of taking something that seems good and it seems right, but it's not in the Scripture. So we go overzealous on this, but it's not even found in the Scripture. We must guard against that because that is what led the Jews to kill their Messiah. They hated him because he said, I and my Father are one. You can't be the Messiah. You can't be him. You were born. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? No, you can't be the Messiah. There was all types of reasons why they didn't think he could be the Messiah. Yet he was, and they killed him. One of the things that happened was the Jews had some very strict and stringent what are called Sabbath laws. Now, in the Bible, in the Mosaic law, there were some laws for what you could do and could not do on the Sabbath day. Okay? Now, what the Pharisees had done is they had taken those laws that were given in the book of Leviticus, and they had taken those and they had added to them. Okay? And they had made it, they had gone over and above what God had said in His Word. I read some of the new Jewish laws for today. And today, you know, if you're going to follow the Sabbath laws as a good Jew, you will unscrew the light bulb in your refrigerator, because if you open the refrigerator door and the light bulb comes on, then you have broken the Sabbath law. Okay? You turn all the lights on your house on before the Sabbath, any light that you're going to need for that entire day, because turning on the lights is breaking the Sabbath. You cook all of the food, and you see how silly they are. Well, that's how they were during the days of Christ. Okay? They had taken what God had said in the Sabbath law, they had added to it. So when Jesus comes along and there's an impotent man there, and He heals the impotent man, and He says, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." All right? We know that Jesus didn't sin, but Jesus did break the Sabbath laws, right? Jesus didn't care what the Pharisees said. Jesus didn't care what was in the oral law. The oral law was what the teachers of the day had added to the Mosaic law, the law of God. Jesus didn't care what it said. So when they said it was wrong for that guy to take up his bed and walk, when they said it was wrong for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath day, it was wrong for Jesus to heal on a Sabbath day? It was wrong for Him to do good? Jesus didn't care what they thought about it. The only thing He cared about was what His Father said. And so Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, and it made the Pharisees angry. I mean, if you want to read all of John chapter number 5 and see all that took place, verse number 10, we'll start there. "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, Is it the Sabbath day? It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered and said, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in a temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Okay? They hated him because they persecuted him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Again, Jesus didn't care about their laws that they had added unto the Mosaic law. The only thing he cared about was what God said. And so he's going to prove to them. Now, I say all of that to lead you into Jesus is going to prove that he's the Son of God, okay? So he has a discussion with the Pharisees. The Pharisees come to him and they begin to challenge him. Okay? Jesus answered them, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hereunto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Had he broken the Sabbath according to the oral law? Yes. Did he sin in doing so? No. Because it was their additions to the law, not God's law. Jesus never broke God's law. Did he go against the traditions of men? Absolutely. And he broke those traditions. And when the traditions of men run up against the Word of God, Jesus didn't care to break the traditions of men, no matter how important they thought they were. They hated him because of it. If you remember, he went and he ate with publicans and sinners, and they're like, "Oh no, you can't do that. He's one that eats with publicans and sinners." Remember, the Jews would not go in with a sinner and be where a sinner was. They wanted to segregate themselves from sinners. Jesus didn't care, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't care about their their laws. But now you see the root. They sought to kill him because he made himself equal with God. You see, Jesus only cared about his Father's words. What did he say when he was accused? Verse number 19. What did Jesus say when they sought to accuse him? Verse number 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. What did Jesus say when they accused him? He said, Look, I'm doing what the Father told me to do, and not only am I going to do this, but the Father has told me to do greater things than these so that you may marvel. If you think me healing an impotent man on the Sabbath day is something, you wait to see what I have in store for you. Because what I do in the future is going to cause you to marvel. There will be no doubt that you will understand that I am the Son of God. Jesus proclaims his ability to raise the dead. And then he tells them, if you do not honor me, you cannot honor the Father. Verses 21 through 23. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. What'd he say? If you will not honor me, you can't honor God. You say you're worshiping God. You say you're serving God. But if you don't honor me, if you don't follow me, you can't follow God. I mean, he's really calling them on the carpet, isn't he? He's really trying to get them to see, listen, you're following the traditions of your father and of your fathers. You're following the traditions of men. You're not following the Word of God. And if you would be following the Word of God, you would understand that the Word of God speaks of me and you should be following me, but you're not doing it. Well, of course they didn't appreciate that, and Jesus goes on to try to explain himself, and he explains himself by calling to witness three different people. Jesus calls three witnesses. Remember in the law, it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. So Jesus is going to call three witnesses. Really, he's going to share the three witnesses that God has to prove that he is the Son of God. And we begin by seeing that in verse 30 and 31. Listen to what he says. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that that witness which he hath witnessed of me is true. What's he saying? I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to show to you some witnesses that prove that what I say about myself is true. Okay? What are those three witnesses? What does he begin with? Well, he begins, first of all, the first witness that he calls is John the Baptist. Verse number 32 through 35. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I knoweth that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John the Baptist came on the scene, right? A voice of one crying out in the wilderness. What did the Jews do? The Jews went out to see him. The Jews went out to listen to him. What did the Pharisees and the Sadducees do? They sent people out to listen to John. They knew that John was from God. Remember when Jesus challenged them? The works of John. Were they of heaven or were they of men? Right? And they were afraid to answer. because they knew that John was a man sent from God. So there was a period of time that they went and they listened and they desired. All of the Jews went out, all Judea went out to listen to the words of John. Why? Because they knew that he was a prophet from God. What were the words of John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What did John the Baptist do? He pointed them. He said, I'm the forerunner. I'm the one that has come to prepare the way of the Lord. If they looked in their Old Testament prophecies, they would have seen the same thing, that God was going to send His man to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what John came and said, I am the one. I am preparing the way of the Lord. And the Jews went out to hear him. And the Jews went out to see him. And they listened to his words. And they understood that he was the light. But they didn't accept the person. John said, the man is Jesus. And the Jews said, no. We don't want Jesus. But John said, he's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But they would not receive the person of Jesus. You see, John witnessed that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Jews rejected the witness of John. Read next, the next few verses we have. And we see, as you read verses 36 through 38, Jesus says this, but I have a greater witness than that of John. Okay? You rejoiced in that light. You know, you saw the light of John and you rejoiced in that light for a period of time, but after a period of time you rejected it. But I have a greater witness than that. Okay? But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. The greater witness was the witness of his works. As Jesus walked about in his ministry performing his miracles, they were enough to prove that he was the Son of God. Remember when he healed the man that was blind from his birth? What did they say about that? Never had there been someone healed that was born blind from birth. There was something unique about what Jesus had done. The work that he performed. No one had ever been able to do the works that Jesus did. They were the great witness. Greater than the witness of John. They knew the power of God rested upon him. Right? Turn back a few pages to John chapter number 3. Because what happened when Nicodemus came to him? It says, there was a man of the Pharisees, verse number 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The Pharisees knew the works that he did. They were a testimony. No man can do this except they're from God, except God be with him. There was no doubt that the power of God rested upon Jesus. But let's go even deeper than that. Let's go to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 61. Here is a prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. This is a prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. What would he do when he comes on the scene? Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. You remember there was a time when Jesus came into the temple and they allowed him to open up the scroll and read from the scroll, and he read that particular verse. He read Isaiah 61 and he closed the scroll and said, "This day is this word fulfilled in your ears." You remember when Jesus did that? So the Messiah is going to come and he's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. He's going to heal many. When Jesus comes on the scene, what does he do? Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. John the Baptist is about to die. John the Baptist, even though earlier in his ministry he had said when he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," but he's about to die and he's a little concerned. And he sends a message to Jesus from prison. And he says, "Are you the one that we ought to be looking for? Or should we be looking for someone else?" In other words, "I'm ready to die, and I'm trusting you. Should I be?" What's Jesus telling? "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of his commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me." What did Jesus say? When John wondered, what did he tell them to look at? "Look at the works that I'm doing. Look at all of these miracles that I'm performing. Understand, John, it is the works that prove that I am the Messiah." Remember in another place there was a question about Jesus? And someone said, "When Messiah comes, will he do greater works than these?" The Jews knew that when Messiah come, he was to perform great and mighty miracles. And when Jesus came and performed those miracles, they know what the Word of God said. They knew what the Messiah ought to be. But when they looked at Jesus, they said, "That can't be him." Even though he was doing everything that the Scriptures said that he should, the Jews didn't believe him. Notice that it said, as we go back to John chapter number 5, a greater witness. The works that Jesus did are a greater witness. They believe that God is with him, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that God is with him, but they don't believe that God is the one doing the works through him. But let's read some more that tell us and prove to us that the works that he is doing testify. At the end of John 5:36, "But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me." The works that I do are bearing witness of me. Look over to John chapter number 10. Verses 25, 37, and 38. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." There it is again. Look at what I'm doing. No mere man could do what I'm doing. The works that I'm performing, they prove to you that I'm the Son of God. The Jews wouldn't receive it because they were so caught up in their religion. Jeez, think about that for just a minute. Jesus Christ came into their midst and they could not and would not receive him because of their religion. Folks, don't get so caught up in religion that you miss Jesus. It's happening every day. The works that I do, they bear witness of me. Verse 37 and 38. For if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me, believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. Look, if I'm not doing what the Father said I was doing, then don't believe me. But even if you don't believe me, believe the works that I'm doing, because the works testify that the power of God is upon me. So therefore, I am God. I am God in the flesh. I am the Messiah. Look at the works that I'm doing. They are proof positive. If they would look at the works, there would be no doubt the Father is in the Son, and the Son is with the Father. But they wouldn't listen. Go back now to John chapter number 8. Jesus is going to discuss His deity again with them. Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. My dad always used to tell me, son, don't brag on yourself. Anybody can brag on themselves. Let somebody else, if somebody else says you're doing something good, if somebody else wants to brag on you, that's okay. Don't brag on yourself. Anybody can do that. You ever heard somebody that brags on themselves all the time and everybody else is looking at them? Yeah, you may say that, but that's not the truth, right? You're not as great as you think you are. I've heard somebody say about somebody, if you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you'd be a millionaire, right? Because they think highly of themselves. Well, that's what the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of. They're saying, listen, you're telling us about yourself. You're witnessing of yourself. And your witness of yourself is not credible. Again, to the Jews, in the mouths of how many witnesses did the thing have to be established? Two or three witnesses, right? So we've already shown John the Baptist. We've already shown the works. There's two witnesses. We'll get to the third witness in just a little bit. But what's Jesus say? Verse number 18. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. I'm not only witnessing of myself, the Father bears witness of me also. And you need to listen to the words of my Father. What is the outcome of their unbelief? They will not receive Jesus. They will not believe Jesus, even though He's witnessing Himself, even though John the Baptist witnessed of Him, even though the works witness of Him, even though my Father is witnessing unto me, because He has given me the works to do and I'm performing that work. They will not believe. Listen, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. The outcome of that is that if they do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're going to die in your sins. Verse 29, And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. The works that I do, the works that I'm performing, they are pleasing to the Father. And the Father is witnessing through, working through me, that I and He are one. You need to listen to the works, because the Father is testifying through those works. Well, they wouldn't listen to that either, would they? Did they receive that? No. First witness, John the Baptist. Second witness, the works that the power of God rested upon him. Now the third witness, which is really the greatest witness of all, go back to John chapter number 5, and we're going to read verses 39 through 47. Where else? What is the greatest witness that Jesus is the Christ? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What's he saying there? If you would have searched the Scriptures, go back and search the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures teach? If you would search the Scriptures, you would find that they testify unto me. Going down a little bit, do not think, verse 45, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? He's saying, look, if you believe Moses, you say you believe Moses, go back to the words of Moses. Read the words of Moses. Go back to the Pentateuch. Go back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Go back and read that, and you'll find me there. If you would listen to what Moses had to say, you would know that I'm the Son of God. But you won't listen to Moses. The teachings that you say you follow, you won't listen to them. Because if you would have really listened to what it was saying, you would receive me, because those scriptures testify of me. Where do we see Jesus mentioned for the first time in the Bible? Hopefully you guys that are members of Emmanuel Baptist Church and come here often, you know this already. You don't have to see the reference on the board. You already know Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy of the coming Son of God that will crush the serpent's head, right? See, this is the first place that we see Genesis chapter number 3. Sin has taken place. And man is cursed because of sin. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman is going to come and crush the serpent's head. There's going to be one that's going to come and overcome sin. Adam sinned against God. He had broken God's law. The seed of woman is going to come, though, and crush the head of the serpent. He's going to come and crush sin. That scripture is telling us about Jesus. You go and look at Abraham and go look at all the promises to Abraham. And you'll see there, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to whom? All people. When Jesus comes, he fulfills the promise to Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Every kindred, every tongue, every nation, and every tribe will be surrounded around the throne of Jesus. All of the nations of the world are blessed in Jesus. If they would have believed the promise that God made to Abraham, they would recognize that Jesus is the one that would fulfill that promise. In the Old Testament, they made these sacrifices, and every time they made these sacrifices in the Old Testament, every time those sacrifices were made, every one of those sacrifices pointed to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Every sacrifice looked forward to the one that would take away sin, a substitute bearing the judgment of God upon sin. If they thought about all the sacrifices, why were those sacrifices made? Those sacrifices were made because man had sinned, and their sin had to be covered, and their sin had to be paid for, and so that lamb had to die in their place. One was bearing the judgment of sin upon another, and every one of those sacrifices pointed to what? Jesus going to the cross and being slain to bear the sins of his people. Every Old Testament sacrifice was a picture looking forward to Jesus, a substitute bearing the judgment of God upon sin. Oh, there's many prophecies that we could get into that talk about the place of the birth of Jesus being in Bethlehem, the place where it talks about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. Go to look at Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53 is telling us about the crucifixion of Jesus. You think about, it tells us that not a bone of his would be broken. They would pierce his side, and all types of prophecies that are made about Jesus that could only be fulfilled in one person. If they would go back and look in the Old Testament and look for the things that was said about who the Messiah would be, and they would look at the life of Jesus, there would be no question, if they would search the Scriptures, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no doubt about it as you look into the testimony of Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans chapter number 4 tells us this, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Where did that take place? Just so you'll know, look at Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 6, and we'll be coming to a close. Verse number 5 says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Righteousness comes by believing in God. You see, the testimony of John the Baptist proves that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The works that he did, proves that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You search the Scriptures. They testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There should be no doubt in our minds today that Jesus is who He said He is. There should be no question that since He is the Son of God, that He has life. There should be no question that the only way to have life is through His name. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. There should be no question in your mind today about the deity of Christ. Is Jesus God? There should be no question. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. There should be no question about the deity of Jesus. And there should be no question about how do I have life? The only way to have life is believing in His name. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees? You don't believe in My name, you don't have life. You should recognize today that if you have never repented of your sins and believed in the name of Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. And if you do not have eternal life, the outcome of that, you're going to perish forever in a devil's hell. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. The deity of Christ. No question, He is the source of life. He is the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for the truths that we find in Your Word, and we thank You, God, that You didn't leave us without witness. But God, that witness will continue as long as Your Word abides. And we know that Your Word abides forever. Then God, we know that Your witness will abide forever, proving to us that Jesus is the Son of God and in Him is life. We thank You for that, God, and we pray that You'll build us up in that and help us to have confidence as we move forward, because we know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we have life in His name. Deal with hearts today. If there's one here that doesn't know You, they have never received You, they've never accepted You as the Son of God, the one that bears their sins in Your body on the tree. We pray, God, that You reveal that to them and that You will draw them unto Yourself today. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.